This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchel with Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang, and we're very pleased to welcome our colleague Steve Yates of the Heritage Foundation to help us untangle a story that only gets worse and worse if you don't know the background. Panama. Once upon a time, a possession of the United States of America. In the 20th century, late 20th century, it was given sovereignty. It stands completely alone, except the Secretary of State, newly confirmed, Marco Rubio, a very popular former senator from Florida, traveling to Panama City to meet with President Mulino, elected not too long ago, and making a promise that he would close the Darien Gap. The news from that meeting includes a statement that President Mulino will now seek to void a contract with the People's Republic of China, committing Panama to the Belt and Road Initiative. Steve, a very good evening to you. I'll stop there because I just list the projects I've been told that are underway that you can see easily from Panama City's hotel rooms. One is a new bridge. Another, I believe, is investment in the railroad. Another is an embassy. And there is a company called Hutchinson Ports that is controlled by a billionaire who lives in Hong Kong that has a facility at either end of the canal. In addition, there's reason to believe that the Chinese nationals wandering the cities of Panama City, streets of Panama City, have not always lived there. There is a diaspora Chinese population, a lot of Chinese restaurants, a lot of Chinese shops, but there appear to be Chinese nationals, perhaps attached to the embassy. I mention all this because it's anecdotal and it's not conclusive, but the opinion of the Secretary of State, certainly, and the Trump government, is that Panama is vulnerable to Chinese bad actors. Does that describe a situation that has been in place for some time, or is this fresh, Steve? Good evening to you.
Well, good evening, John. I think it's a little bit of both. There have been layers of migration and business that have come from China into Latin America for some time. There have been immigration and illicit activity concerns that have always been around major ports and shipping routes, and Panama was not exempt from that. Everything from the drug wars of the 70s and 80s and onward up into the new world of mass migration flows and massively lethal drugs that have come up into our territory in the United States. So this is, I think, a shockingly interesting postage stamp sized issue set, given there are so many things that are tied into this. The companies of concern with the ports tie to Hong Kong. You cannot separate that from the national security law and Hong Kong going to one country, one system. There are the issues of the migration flow. You mentioned the Darien Gap. People moving, dangerous people moving in some cases through that territory, cannot be separated from the ports, bridges, and other means that are there to get from South America up into Central and the America and the United States. And then there's the Belt and Road Initiative, which obviously is tied to investments and promises of employment, but it has some pollution that comes in with it, too. And so I admire Secretary Rubio for making this a priority. I admire him for taking it head on. And I think that we have some initial good news out of that exchange in terms of changing winds with regard to the Belt and Road. It would make Panama a very important example in moving away from that. The United States and its allies need to flood opportunity in to make up for some of that change in opportunity. And then there's the last but not least issue of change of diplomatic relations in Central America away from Taiwan and to China. And following that, this problem of migration, corruption, and other security questions. And so potentially, this is a down payment and a change of course that matters more than just Panama itself.
Gordon, you have a question for Steve.
Steve, Secretary Rubio's first foreign trip wasn't to other hotspots around the world, Middle East, Europe, East Asia. It was to Central America and the Caribbean. And first stop, Panama, as we now know, but four other states, three of them in Central America, one in the Caribbean. This seems to me to show that the Trump foreign policy is going to be concentrated on the Western Hemisphere. In other words, countries closest to our borders. Do you think that this trip was indeed symbolic of that, or was this just a trip that had to be made because of the problems in Panama and was not significant in terms of the Trump administration focus?
I think it is significant in terms of the focus, but I would put it in the context of every other element of government that is instructed to do things that are demonstrably America first, not to be isolationist and not to be limited to our own territory or near abroad, but just the simple principle that you have to take care of things in your own house, in your own neighborhood, before you're in an appropriate position to take care of things further abroad. And so I think in terms of demonstration effect, that was probably deliberate. When you think of more domestic-oriented agencies, it comes across a little bit differently. But when it comes to the foreign policy arm of the United States, I think it's an important signal to send that we're not going to ignore or bypass or downgrade our near abroad, our own hemisphere. And I also think this is an investment in a potential solution set to the overdependency upon China and supply chains moving into our own hemisphere. If we're going to decouple in any meaningful way or safe shore in any meaningful way, we have to have governments, economies, and infrastructures able to move that opportunity closer to our shores and away from the People's Republic of China. So I think this fits in all of those areas, not just in one of the narratives of this being the Western Hemisphere and not the Middle East, Europe, or Asia.
The Chinese Foreign Ministry has made a declaration saying that it respects Panama's sovereignty and believes that there's no problem here. Why are the Chinese Foreign Ministry getting involved in the affairs of Panama, a traditional creation of the United States of America? Is this Wolf Warrior? Is this some kind of policy I don't know about? I mean, these are not teachers roaming around the world. These are ops for the foreign ministry. Why are they talking about it?
Well, I think they can't afford to leave it alone, because I think that the Secretary Rubio's visit had a powerful demonstration effect. It's rippling around the region. We'll see how it manifests in his other stops. And the White House echo of what Secretary Rubio was bringing by way of the agenda is pretty strong. And of course, the Chinese diplomats, they're trying to be a little bit nicer Wolf Warrior, perhaps. They don't want to provoke final activity on these issues, because, of course, the Trump administration could decide that they will do what the previous Trump administration hinted at and the Bush administration did by urging Central American and Indo-Pacific allies of Taiwan to stay with Taiwan and not switch to China. And if there's a movement on that front, those Wolf Warriors will be in full panic and defense mode.
Steve, you talked about safe shoring. Four of the five countries on Secretary Rubio's trip are members of CAFTA-DR, our free trade agreement with Central America and the Caribbean. That seems to me the making of a safe soaring solution, brings factories back to CAFTA-DR countries.
It does. And you put that together with some kind of decisive move against the cartels, making Mexico perhaps a safer area as well. Maybe there would be better investment in manufacturing and trade that would not be of as great of concern. But we're going to have reliable partners if we're going to pull off this strategic decoupling from China, which, as Ambassador Lighthizer has always said, is not an end to all trade, but we have to look at the things that are most vital to us, and we have to have options if we're going to have better leverage in dealing with China. And I think this all fits piece by piece into that map.
Steve Yates, Heritage, Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.